Welcome to Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Dr. Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most dynamic show on radio that's all about the health of your mind and the expansion of your consciousness. Welcome to Mind Matters Radio with meditation guru, registered hypnotherapist, Enneagram coach, and Reiki master, Ajayan Boris.
Ever wonder what you're really capable of? Scientists tell us we use only a fraction of our true potential. Welcome to Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network, where we'll explore the frontiers of human growth. Find out what experts in the field of psychology, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, and science have to say that will help you to live your life to the fullest. And now your host, Ajayan Boris.
And welcome, everyone, to Mind Matters Radio. I am Ajayan Boris, your fellow explorer of human potential. And as you know, we're here every Monday for one reason, and that is because your mind really does matter, and we want to get you the latest information to help you expand your horizons, maybe heal, whatever we can do for you. So today, I am so excited about our guests. And I say that in as genuinely as I can because these guys are great. First of all, we'll be talking, actually, they're both the co-authors of a book called Dharma Parenting, Understand Your Child's Brilliant Brain for Greater Happiness, Health, Success, and Fulfillment. And that is Robert Keith Wallace. He is a pioneering researcher on the physiology of consciousness. In fact, I got to say that I first heard about Dr. Wallace, Keith, back in like 1972 when I was a young TM teacher, and he had done really some of the very first scientific research on the effects of meditation. And it was just amazing work. And I was citing that research for many, many years. So I'm just so delighted to have Keith on the show. And he has inspired hundreds of other studies on the benefits of meditation and other mind-body techniques. His findings have been published in Science, American Journal of Physiology, and Scientific American. And I think we'll leave it at that. He is the founding president of Maharshi University of Management in Fairfield, Iowa. Our second guest, also a co-author of the book, is Fred Travis. And Dr. Travis is a world-renowned neuroscientist who discovered brainwave patterns in children and young people that correlate with greater moral reasoning, happiness, emotional stability, and academic performance. And Dr. Travis has authored 70 scientific papers, many published in leading peer-reviewed journals. And he got his master's and PhD in psychology from Maharshi University of Management. And after a two-year postdoctoral position at the University of California at Davis, he returned to MUM, that's Maharshi University of Management, to direct the Center for Brain, Consciousness, and Cognition. Fred and Keith, welcome to Mind Matters.
Thank you.
Great to be here, Ajayan.
All right. Well, this is a fascinating book and one that I think is really important for a lot of reasons, and we're going to get into that. But let's just start from your initial idea. Why did you guys decide to come together to write a book on Dharma parenting?
Well, we've been collaborating for 20 years on doing science, and at the same time, we've both been parents. Keith's now a grandparent. And we also both been working with the knowledge of Maharshi Ayurveda. And what we found is a fusion of the knowledge of Maharshi Ayurveda with modern neuroscience gives a framework to allow parents to understand what their kids are doing, how to understand how they're reacting in different situations, and how to support their growth.
Okay. Keith, anything to add to that?
Well, I think, you know, for Fred and I, this is kind of an adventure because we really, you know, our kids are all grown up. We're writing this in retrospect, but we're kind of totally fascinated by the development of the brain. We've both been studying of the development of consciousness. And our, you know, our primary goal in life is to help people develop higher states of consciousness. And all the work we've done, all the, you know, research we've done has looked at that. But when it all is said and done, you realize, hey, the most crucial time in your life is when you're a child. That's when all these fundamental brain circuits are formed, which literally shape your future, how you react to time, how you react to stress, how you react to different emotional cues. Those circuits are all laid down when you're very, very young. Even genes are expressed. And it dawned on us that this was a very, very important thing to help people with, because if you could bring up your child in such a way as to help them find their dharma — dharma is a wonderful word with many different meanings, but for us, it's like the journey you're on, the path you're on. And we want that path for our children to be the easiest, most successful, happiest, healthiest. And we realized that if we could give them tools, you know, based on the knowledge that we had learned from our research, from the founder of the university, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, from this incredible wealth of knowledge contained in the one of the oldest health systems in the world, Ayurveda. If we could bring out that knowledge, which we had, you know, utilized ourselves, and put it in a really easy format so anybody could pick it up, anybody could understand it, filled with stories and practical applications, then we realized we could help people right at the beginning, right when all those circuits are being formed, and then their path of evolution would be much, much easier. It's funny, too, because we've had non-parents read the book, and they love it, because a lot of the book is about relationships, and it's about how to make those relationships in the most meaningful, successful, friendly, cooperative, coherent way. So it's turned out to be quite an interesting experience for both of us. And we talk to people from all different backgrounds, but there is this kind of universal desire: let's help our kids, let's get them a better start in life than the previous generation.
Well, I totally love what you're saying here. In fact, I can think of — I've thought of that myself many times. I've heard that for instance, an Ayurvedic principle — and by the way, for listeners who haven't heard the term Ayurveda before, it is the traditional system of healing from India, and it's at least 5,000+ years old. And one principle of Ayurveda is that that your health of your, you know, body and mind and all of that is largely determined in the first 7 years of life. And so what you're talking about here is so true. And I can give you a perfect example that's very relevant to me. I just went in to the dentist, and once again, they found that because I had had, you know, all these cavities when I was a kid, because I ate tons of sugar as a kid, which, of course, down the road leads to having to have crowns. And then you get the crowns, and your tooth, your nerves can't handle that. Then you get root canals. It just has this domino effect, all because my parents didn't realize that eating a ton of sugar when you're a kid probably isn't the healthiest thing. So, you know, so just that one simple thing could have completely changed my dental health. You know what I mean? For a lifetime. And I, when I think of all the pain I've gone through in my mouth, well, that would have been amazing. I would have loved that. So that's just a really gross example. But you guys get into so much more in this book, way more, of course. So anyway, let's talk about, get into the book a little bit. You do talk about the first tool of Dharma parenting, and that is discovering your child's brain and body type. Could one of you talk a little bit about that and talk about the typing that you're referring to there?
Sure. Go ahead, Fred. Dosha.
Keith, why don't you bring out the dosha aspect of brain body type, and I'll bring out the brain part.
Okay. So there are two aspects, as Fred was mentioning here, and I'm going to bring out the more traditional Ayurveda aspect, and Fred will bring out the more modern scientific brain development aspect to it. Okay. From the kind of traditional Ayurveda notion, there's this idea that people have different natures, different tendencies. And they, I don't know exactly how they got this knowledge, but it's very profound. And, you know, they have these three basic natures, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And nowadays, there's some incredible modern research which shows that there's a genetic basis to this. So it's not just folk knowledge. There's some real scientific basis, genetic research, biochemical research, and we've proposed a very specific brain research. And so what they understood was that the child's brain, from a genetic point of view, gets wired differently in different, you could call them types, or we call them natures now, because typing can be, some people can be afraid of that. We don't want to make up any excuses for anyone. So we have kind of switched over to talking about brain-body natures. But the brain-body natures, three of them, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, and those names are traditional names. We wanted to honor the Ayurveda tradition. But they're quite simple. The Vata nature is the one that's probably a little bit thinner in their physical structure. Their brain is wired so they are so imaginative, so creative, very able to learn quickly. They can move from one thing to another with very remarkable speed. They do, you know, have some problems if they get out of balance. And I'm going to mention, you know, first of all, the strengths, and then bring out the weaknesses. So the strengths, you know, are this incredible creativity, imagination, sharp focus, enthusiasm. You know, physically they're moving about. Vata really means movement. And so they're often the ballet dancers, the gymnasts, the ones that are very agile. But when they get out of balance, they can get nervous and anxious. And, you know, that's not so good. They can lose focus. They can be very oversensitive. So that's one type, one nature. The second one is Pitta, and this is more in terms of fire and metabolism. They're very strong. They are goal-oriented. They like to be on time. They really are good leaders. They're competitive at everything, very well organized. But again, if they become out of balance, that fire that's driving everything can lead to irritability and anger. And if they miss a meal, watch out. They've got to eat on time. That's very important. And the Vatas really need a good routine, and they need to be grounded. Then the final one is Kapha. This is the very good-natured, very loving, wonderful administrators, very orderly, a little slower than particularly the Vatas. But once they learn something, they never forget it. So very, very orderly in their nature. But if they get out of balance, they can kind of withdraw, put the brakes on. They don't like change. And particularly with children, you really got to help them kind of keep them stimulated and move them on. So each of these natures, each of these different types, it's not like we're absolutely one or the other. We actually all turn out to be a mixture of all these. So we can have, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Maybe we're highly creative, but we're also very goal-oriented. And it's kind of this understanding that's our first tool. You can take a quiz at dharmaparenting.com. That's our website. There's a free quiz. You can take it for yourself. You can take it for your child, or your child can take it. It's very fun. You get a 4-page report, which gives a lot of details already. So even without reading the book, you can start, you know, right away and get an understanding of your strengths and weaknesses, and really how your brain is wired. Because ultimately, how we process information, how we experience the world, has a huge effect on our behavior. So this is the more traditional Ayurveda aspect. And now Fred will give you really how this relates. We call it brain-body type, how this relates to the whole development of the brain as we understand it from modern neurophysiology.
Thank you, Keith. That was quite a thorough presentation on doshas and body nature from Maharshi Ayurveda. The idea of brain-body nature really has two sides to it. One is that the dosha nature from Ayurveda is a reflecting of underlying brain circuits, as Keith was saying. And so they're really deeply ingrained in how the person is seeing the world around them. And then this brings in the second point about brain-body nature, and that is the brain is in constant development, constant transformation from birth to age 25. And this is affecting how the child hears you, understands you, can take in information. For instance, at birth, the child has most of the brain cells they'll have throughout their life, but they're not completely connected. In fact, when the child is born and they look up and see you, they don't see mama and daddy and their sisters and brothers. They don't see heads and necks and shoulders because the brain circuits to put together incoming information are not there. What they're seeing are like fireworks, just a burst of visual information, a burst of visual information, then another burst. They don't have the ability to keep each burst online and connect it with the next. It takes about actually 6 months. And in 6 months, the visual system is wired up so they can see objects. And what is happening over these first 3 years of life, which allows the child to begin to see the world, is there's an explosion of connections between brain cells. Neuroscience calls it neural exuberance. Neural exuberance. At this time, the child between 0 and 3 is making 24 million connections every minute. Every minute. So they're lying there. What are they doing? I'm not doing anything. They're making 24 million new connections every minute. And this explosion of brain connectivity is what allows them to begin to wire together the visual system so they begin to see the world. A year to a year and a half, they wire together the auditory system. They can begin to follow sounds and parse out sounds into words. They're able to begin to, 9 months to a year, to begin to control their body, to roll over, to crawl, to begin to stand up. All of these abilities emerge as the connections develop. So what do you do between 0 and 3 as a parent? Yes, you talk with the child, but don't give them verbal instructions. They don't have the circuits to understand it. You tell your 3-year-old, don't jump on the couch. All they hear is jump and couch, and they start jumping on the couch. They don't have the neural connections to create the idea of jumping on the couch and then negating it with don't. What you're doing the first 3 years of parenting is you're teaching by example. There's these neurons in the brain called mirror neurons in front and back of the brain. And these mirror neurons become active when the child watches somebody else interacting with another person or interacting with an object. And these are the neurons that the child will need to do to repeat the that action. So it's very much they see what they do, they're copying what they're doing. So this is, as we go into other Dharma tools, we'll see why the next one, H, is heal yourself, because as a parent, you need to be as rested as you can, because the child is copying how you're dealing with stress, how you're dealing with obstacles, how are you dealing when there's chaos around you. So this is the first age, 0 to 3. The next, 4 to 9, is a time when the child has maximum brain connections. They have more connections between their brain cells than any other time in their life. In fact, there's so many, the surface of the brain is twice as thick as an adult. There's so many connections. These connections are what allow the child to pick up language, rule-governed behavior, socialization, culture, nonverbal communication. this is a fun time, and what you want to do is give the child plenty of space to play, because with language, they're being able to develop labels for objects, they're being able to imagine a box as a dragon, or a fire engine, or a hamburger. With language and labels, they can change what their object is. It's a time of intuitive thinking and creative play. At the end of this period, 8, 9, what is happening is the left and right sides of the brain, the links between them are gaining a fatty coating. It's called myelin. And this speeds up information flow about 20 times. So at this end of this period, the child is beginning to be able to understand rules and guide their life by rules. And the rules are absolute. If the rule says you have to do something, then you have to do it. What do you want to do in this time is you want to give the child the understanding of why you do things. When they're asking why, they're just not being obnoxious. This is what they really want to know. What are the rules? Because then they are in control of their life and they know the rules. The next big time is 10 to 17. These are the teenage years. What's happening in the teenage years is the brain is changing more than in any other time in the child's life. First, the high level of brain connections are dropping off, called neural pruning. With neural pruning, individuality emerges, and the child can begin to have a mental thought inside and focus on the outside world. At the same time, with these loss of connections, the axons linking other parts of the brain with the executive frontal areas begin to add the myelin sheath. So now the connections with the frontal lobes are speeding up, so the child can begin to plan and think and question and foresee consequences. This is a challenging time for parents because the 9-year-old loves rules and everything you tell them is absolute, is black and white. The 13-year-old now has the ability to question rules, and they'll question everything. Not because they're being rebellious or acting out. It's just they have the brain circuits now to ask, what if? What if? Also, what's happening in this time, this period of neural pruning from 10 to 18, the connections are dropping off, especially age 13, 14, 15, so that the brain that the child goes to bed with is not the brain that they wake up with. And if the brain is how we understand the world, self-esteem, planning, organizing the world, that ability is changing daily. So it's a very challenging time for the child. The sense of self is very fragile. And what you want to do in this time is keep the conversation going. And you want to go from just telling them rules to asking them questions, having them explore big issues. Because by using these circuits to the front of the brain in their day-to-day activity, they're actually developed. This is a time, age 10, when a child can learn transcendental meditation. The brain connections are there to allow them to systematically transcend. It's also so very powerful for the child because, remember I was saying all the connections are dropping off. Not all the connections, but the connections they haven't used are dropping off. If you add transcending twice a day to the daily routine, it gives them something stable. Everything else can be changing radically, but you can sit and you can close your eyes and transcend. So those are the three major age groups. And as you see, how you parent and how you react to the world, what you can expect of your child will be different at each age.
Hey, thank you so much for that, Fred and Keith. All right, we need to go to a quick break. And when we come back, I want to dig a little deeper into how all this allows us to be better parents, what we can do for our children understanding this. And obviously, you guys have hinted at that, if not already said a little bit about it. But when we get back, we'll look into that a lot more. So stay with us. You're listening to Mind Matters. I'm Ajay Amboris, and we're talking to Dr. Robert Keith Wallace and Frederick Travis, authors of Dharma Parenting. Mm-hmm.
Have you wanted to learn meditation from a true master but didn't know where to turn or didn't have time to travel to the Himalayas? Now, internationally renowned meditation master Ajayan Boris comes to you. Learn at your own pace and even in the comfort of your own home and receive ongoing support for your practice. The best part? It costs you less than 30 cents a day and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to ajayan.com. And join Ajayan Boris's Meditation Private membership site. You'll gain access to detailed video courses in meditation, weekly live guided meditations for abundance, healing, developing your creativity, and so much more. You'll also have access to a forum to ask Ajayan any meditation-related question. For more information, go to ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com. Ajayan.com.
There are many ways to finding balance within yourself. One of the most important ways is to get away from the normal life you are leading now and spend some time with like-minded people. This allows for a rewiring of your brain on a deeper level. It gives you space to commit to what is important for your healing. Traveling with Dr. Keisha takes you deeper into the tools that you need to reach your innermost core or your true centered self. Every year, Dr. Keisha takes a select group of people to one of the places of power on this planet. Join her October 17th through the 29th as she travels back to Kenya, Africa for a life-transforming safari to the soul. For more information and to register, go to drkeisha.com and click on retreats. Your safari to soul will include 2 weeks of working with indigenous tribes, communing with some of the most powerful animals on the planet, working with plant medicine, and releasing self-limiting beliefs that are holding you back.
Would you like to learn effortless meditation? Meditation guaranteed to bring you deep relaxation, peace, and well-being. Ajayan Boris, who has taught meditation around the world for the past 45 years, is offering a special meditation class at Fern Life Center in Issaquah.
This class will give you all you need to
enter a deep state of meditation at will, feel profoundly rested, refreshed, calm, and energized. Thoroughly understand the mechanics of meditation so you can use this invaluable tool the rest of your life. To register, email Ajayan at ajayan@ajayan.com or call 425-677-5451. That's ajayan@ajayan.com or 425-677-5451.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back to Mind Matters. I'm Ajayan Boris. And just a quick reminder that you can listen to Mind Matters anywhere, anytime, actually. You can, first of all, go to ajayan.com, go down to the right part of the lower part of the page and click the Mind Matters link, and it will take you right through how so you can stream shows live. You can also, of course, listen to over 5 years of past shows just using the same link. So lots of content to listen to. Great stuff like we're talking about today. And of course, if you're in the Seattle market, you can listen, through your radio as well, 1150 AM, not only on Mondays from 1 to 2, but also Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Dr. Keisha Ewers gives you the latest information to help you heal yourself using functional medicine, Ayurveda, traditional medicine, integrative medicine, in other words. So stay with the Healthy You Radio Network, which Mind Matters is part of. So we are talking with Dr. Robert Keith Wallace and Dr. Frederick Travis. They have written a fabulous book called Dharma Parenting, Understand Your Child's Brilliant Brain for Greater Happiness, Health, Success, and Fulfillment. And we were just talking about that brilliant brain, and I don't know about anyone else, but I found that fascinating. I had no idea the different stages the brain's development goes through, just vastly different sort of mechanisms at play in the unfolding and building up and trimming down of the brain as a child grows. That's amazing. So anyway, let's get into some of these tools of Dharma parenting. And maybe we should just quickly back up for a moment and define the word Dharma. I think most of our listeners have heard that term before and probably have an idea of what it means. What do you guys mean when you chose that word as part of your title?
Well, basically, it's we consider it kind of the journey that you're taking your child on, the path that will bring your child the greatest happiness, health, and fulfillment in life. So you as a parent are guiding your child along that path, trying to provide tools and support so they can find their meaning in life, find out who they are and what they want to be and how they can reach a level which encompasses not only material success, but spiritual fulfillment as well as emotional relationships. So Dharma really encompasses everything. It's a word like yoga and meditation, which nobody knew about, or even the word karma. And all of a sudden, it's being used all over the place because people are fascinated by this profound knowledge and how it can be applied in our lives.
Right. And we chose that word for two reasons. One, we feel that's the purpose of parenting, to identify and support the growth of your child. And second thing, we have the understanding that a child is a person too. They're not an object that the adult parent is manipulating through time and space, but they're a person who's growing, who has their own nature, and so the whole purpose of parenting is to support that.
Right. Okay, so Keith, you earlier talked about Ayurveda and some of the constitutions, basically the Vata Pitta Kapha constitutions. How does knowing that about your child help you to parent so that you can help actualize your child's full potential?
Well, in many different ways. I mean, first of all, you know, we don't always have children that are exactly like us. You know, we could be a Pitta mom or dad and have a Vata child. And what does that mean? Well, you know, these brain-body natures can collide, so it's good to have a sense of who you are and who your child is. And when you recognize, okay, say I'm a Pitta dad and I want my child to be involved in athletics, I want them to have very specific goals, I want them always to be on time, and yet I have, you know, maybe a Vata child who's very imaginative, very creative, likes to move from one thing to another. I might have another, you know, Kapha boy who is, you know, a little slower getting up in the morning, loves to give hugs, likes to kind of, you know, enjoy things a little longer than most do. And once I see each child in their own full glory and I understand, I really don't want to impose who I am on my child. That helps me a lot because now I can look for their strengths and weaknesses. My organizing ability actually helps them. The Vata, say Vata girl, you know, can be a little bit, she's reading, you know, reading during meals, reading here, reading there, just basically gobbling up information right and left. But she needs help in terms of being focused on what she's doing. She also needs to kind of calm down a little before going to sleep at night. So I can help that. I can provide a good routine. I can provide that support without imposing my own desires, my own way of life on her. By understanding her, I can support her and give her what she needs. And same with my Kapha boy. I can do the same thing. If he's resisting something, I understand that. I don't push him. I'm not, you know, trying to force him to do something. I get that it might take him a little longer. And so I have to factor in that time, factor in the explanations. So this kind of appreciation of each person's strengths really has a huge effect. And, you know, there are certain advantages also. The kids will know that, hey, if dad doesn't get his food on time, he can get a little irritable. So they'll absolutely make sure dad gets his lunch on time. likewise, you know, the a little Vata girl, if, you know, she has a chart on the wall which shows her what's happening each time in the day, that's great for her. She really likes that. No questions. She sees what she's doing next. Kapha boy doesn't really want that. He's already locked into the chart. You've actually got to kind of get him out of the chart and get him off the couch and get him moving around. So, you know, by knowing the strengths and weaknesses, we can help our children. We can organize ourselves as a family. You know, the wife and the husband can work together. They have to understand how they get along so they're not in conflict. They can recognize that there's certain activities everybody can do, some activities not everyone can do. They will know foods that are particularly good. You know, the pitta maybe can't handle hot, spicy food, so that's important to know. So just little adjustments that can make life so much more harmonious and practical.
Beautifully said. Now, I do have a question about this. Of course, there are many different typing systems, and I'm just curious why you chose Ayurveda as the sort of foundation for this kind of typing of children. You called it something other than typing, I know, but basically that's what we're talking about. What are the advantages of the Ayurvedic approach?
Well, some advantages, I think, is how long the Ayurvedic system has been around and has been applied. Second, it is based on a deep understanding of the individual, that each individual is an individual with their certain likes and preferences and their own direction of growth in life. And three, because that's what we had experience with. That's what I was coming out just at the time when I had my three daughters. Mm-hmm. And so I found it was very applicable, and it was very reliable and also very commonsensical and easy to apply.
Right. One thing that's kind of obvious is that in a sort of the sort of dietary dimension is, you know, Ayurveda is certainly better than, say, using the Enneagram or something like that, because it encompasses that aspect of, you know, so many aspects of your being, the physical types as well. So anyway, I can definitely appreciate that. All right, let's go on to the second tool of Dharma parenting that you talk about in your book. And either one of you, or feel free to hop in on this. The second tool you say is heal yourself. That always sounds like great advice. What are you referring to there?
Well, we used an acronym, you know, to do this. So we have Dharma. So each of the first letters of Dharma is the guide for each of our tools. But, you know, Fred and I have been studying transcendental meditation for a long time, and you know a lot about it yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's one of the key recommendations. It's quite different than other people's recommendations. Of course, everybody knows rest is critical, and that's probably the most impossible thing, especially if you're a single mom. You know, what hope is there to get any rest? But we try to come up with a lot of different ways where you tap into help from family, friends, and so forth. And we really make a big point that fatigue is the enemy. When you're tired, you can be irritable. When you're tired, you don't think as clearly. The brain doesn't work as efficiently. So these are two big ones. As you mentioned, diet is a very important one. And Ayurveda has a huge wealth of knowledge there that's kind of missing from modern medicine. You know, most doctors just don't really understand the value of food. Now we're beginning to get a much, much more comprehensive idea of why food is so critical. And, you know, in addition, exercise. You know, we all know you got to get out there and do something, but how many people do it? And so these are kind of some of the basics we talk about. As I said, transcendental meditation is the one we have researched the most thoroughly, and we just feel that's such a fabulous tool. That 20 minutes twice a day can just break the spell of fatigue, can just, you know, reset the brain so it can operate more efficiently, can fill you with a little more happiness and a little more cosmic perspective. When you're, you know, changing the diapers and cleaning up the mess and everything, it can get a little bit point value. And so you need to get a slight moment where you have a broader perspective on life. You get infused a little and you see those children as, you know, angels bouncing around rather than as demons making a mess of everything.
Right. So true. Fred, anything to add to that?
I think that was quite completely covered.
Okay, good. All right. So moving, I want to kind of dive in because you give a number of these tools for Dharma parenting and they're great tools. So I think everybody should hear a little bit about each of these. So the third tool you've got in here, attention and appreciation, again, two words that obviously make sense when you're parenting. But do you have more to say about that?
Just that that's, I think, is the criteria for good parenting 24/7. Because what your attention is doing, it's capturing how the child is growing. It's allowing you to realize the child is an individual who's developing. It's allowing you to support what they need and to see where they need some help. And the what's found in the first 3 years of life, it's your attention is what the child needs. They don't need mobiles over their crib, and they don't need high-tech tools. They need your attention. They need someone that they can bounce off of. If there's something unknown in the environment, they need someone as a benchmark they can go back to. And the attention of the caregiver is what is found to lead to a healthy immune system, healthy stress response, and so on. So attention is important. And we add the word appreciation because a child doesn't need critical attention or judgmental attention. They need appreciative attention. Because what you're doing with appreciative attention is really unconditional love and regard and support, that you see how they're developing, you see what they need. And because they're changing, you need to keep your attention, because what's right week one is not going to be right the next week and the next week as their brain develops, as their ability to see the world deepens.
Wow.
There's an interesting thing here, and that is that every experience changes your brain, even as adults. But when you're a child, as you heard, these brain connections are just popping wildly. And so it's even more important the quality of experience the child is having. And those brain circuits that are formed at that early age are the ones that are going to really determine so many of our habits that we get later in life. And those habits are not easy to change once they're formed and been reinforced year after year after year. So this quality of attention is important. So much research has shown it very clear, you know, a too authoritative type parenting. Yeah, sure, you get the child to do something at a young age, but later they turn out to be real rebels and they have all kinds of problems. Too permissive, same thing. You know, yes, it looks all good when they're young, but you know, and it actually doesn't look that good when they're young. They can get into all kinds of trouble, but they get into even worse trouble when they get to be teenagers. So that quality of attention has to be something which creates boundaries, but presents those boundaries in the most loving, caring, and supportive manner.
Yeah, I love what both you guys are saying. It's so obvious that attention is an incredibly valuable commodity that a parent, you know, offers to the child, and all too often we give too little, and we're not that appreciative attention. So these are just excellent points. You can't just hand them a cell phone to play with and expect them to be, you know, to turn out a great human being. So with that, let's go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive into the other tools of Dharma parenting. Stay with us. You're listening to Mind Matters.
Have you wanted to learn meditation from a true master but didn't know where to turn or didn't have time to travel to the Himalayas? Now, internationally renowned meditation master Ajayan Boris comes to you. Learn at your own pace and even in the comfort of your own home, and receive ongoing support for your practice. The best part? It costs you less than 30 cents a day and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to ajayan.com and join Ajayan Boris's Meditation Private Membership site. You'll gain access to detailed video courses in meditation, weekly live guided meditations for abundance, healing, developing your creativity, and so much more. You'll also have access to a forum to ask Ajayan any meditation-related question. For more information, go to ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com. ajayan.com.
There are many ways to finding balance within yourself. One of the most important ways is to get away from the normal life you are leading now and spend some time with like-minded people. This allows for a rewiring of your brain on a deeper level. It gives you space to commit to what is important for your healing. Traveling with Dr. Keisha takes you deeper into the tools that you need to reach your innermost core or your true centered self. Every year, Dr. Keisha takes a select group of people to one of the places of power on this planet. Join her October 17th through the 29th as she travels back to Kenya, Africa for a life-transforming safari to the soul. For more information and to register, go to drkeisha.com and click on retreats. Your safari to soul will include 2 weeks of working with indigenous tribes, communing with some of the most powerful animals on the planet, working with plant medicine, and releasing self-limiting beliefs that are holding you back.
Would you like to learn effortless meditation? Meditation guaranteed to bring you deep relaxation, peace, and well-being. Ajayan Boris, who has taught meditation around the world for the past 45 years, is offering a special meditation class at Fern Life Center in Issaquah.
This class will give you all you need to
enter a deep state of meditation at will, feel profoundly rested, refreshed, calm, and energized. Thoroughly understand the mechanics of meditation so you can use this invaluable tool the rest of your life. To register, email Ajayan at ajayan@ajayan.com or call 425-677-5451. That's ajayan@ajayan.com or 425-677-5451.
Find our app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
And welcome back. I'm Ajayan Boris. You're listening to Mind Matters. And we are talking with Robert Keith Wallace, PhD, and Frederick Travis, PhD, the authors of Dharma Parenting. And if you, in case you don't know how to spell that, that's D-H-A-R-M-A, Dharma Parenting. Understand your child's brilliant brain for greater happiness, health, success, and fulfillment. And, you know, both of these guys, as if you've been listening, I'm sure you appreciate that. They're both brilliant men that have tremendous wisdom, and they've done a lot of research, each of them. I highly recommend that you take a look at their the book on Amazon, Dharma Parenting, and then click each of their names to go to their author pages and see what they've been up to. Just a lot of fabulous work and cutting-edge research. So they're really advancing the knowledge of unfolding higher consciousness, and I think that's just beautiful work. So, all right, guys. Let's get back into the tools that we're talking about, the Dharma parenting tools. Let's see, what's the next one? I've lost my...
R, C-H-A-R, R is for routines.
Ah, yes, okay, routines are right. Okay, so routines to improve family dynamics. What do you have to say about that?
What the routines do is they allow the child to know what to expect. And also you teach them social etiquette. How do you act at a dinner table? What's the routine of going to bed? What's the routine of waking up? What's the routine of going shopping and so on? Another routine which we discuss in detail in the book is having family meetings where you sit down and just discuss what's going on. And this is especially good when the child's 6, 7, 8, when they're beginning to understand that there's rules that control behavior and allow them to participate in making the rules. And what you're doing by this is actually structuring that ability in their brain to begin to reflect on what they're doing to decide a new course of action.
Okay, great. Keith, anything to add to that?
Well, you just have to be aware that the routines can be different for each one. And so the Vata nature really loves routine. They thrive on it. And the more routine you can give them, they don't like it, actually. but they actually, because they like change. They want to jump around, do everything. But the more you can keep them on a routine, the more grounded they are, the more settled and balanced they will be. So that's a real key to them. The Pitta child, you don't have to do much. They're very goal-oriented. You give them, you know, very specific goals, simple. The Kapha is quite the opposite. They kind of actually need to break the routine occasionally. And, you know, some are more valuable than others, but very, very easy with them, except you just got to get them outside, get them to do more physical activity. You know, those parts of the routine that require them to actually get out, move around, they're the most important for them.
Okay. We have just 3 minutes left, so I want to just touch on the last two. The fifth tool is manage meltdowns and cultivate behaviors. What do you guys have to say about that?
Meltdowns will happen. We give 6 C's to help you deal with them. The first 3 are really together. You want to comfort your child. When they melt down, they really are feeling that their whole world is breaking around them, so you need to support them. You melt, and as you're comforting them, you check in, see what the issue is. Is it simply they're hungry? And also, this whole process is to change their brain state, because during the meltdown, the child doesn't have the ability to reflect on what's going on. Once you change the brain state, and then you can talk about choices and consequences, and the whole angle here is that you're the coach. So that's the bird's eye view of this M tool in Dharma parenting.
Mm-hmm. Great. And anticipate and adapt. That's the sixth tool that you guys talk about. What about that?
Well, we've pretty much been saying that all along. You know, you anticipate for the Pitta type, make sure they have their meals in time, make sure they don't get too hot. If there's, you know, water around, either drink it or put them in it when they need it, because they get overheated. That's a problem. And I say that in the nicest possible way. If you have a swimming pool, that can help greatly. And, you know, if it's a Vata child, you want to make sure you don't overtire them. And if it's a Kapha child, you want to make sure you give them extra time. So a little bit of anticipating makes a huge difference. And we give lots of different examples in the book. Finally, the last tool, adapt, is just exactly that. We can't give all the possible scenarios. We can't even imagine all the possible scenarios. You just have to take these tools, use your common sense. This is the great gift that parents have. They have the ability to adapt and figure out what to do in the most unusual situations.
Beautiful. You know, when I think about it, certainly parenting, along with relationship itself, is one of the most challenging and rewarding things that, you know, happen in human life. And you guys have really made a beautiful contribution to that, to understanding how to better do that. So I really, you know, kudos to you guys. I hope your book is hugely successful. Again, it's Dharma Parenting: Understand Your Child's Brilliant Brain for Greater Happiness, Health, Success, and Fulfillment by Robert Keith Wallace and Frederick Travis. You've been listening to Mind Matters, and I'm Ajay M. Boris. Thank you for joining us.